Hello, darlings, and welcome back to Diva Deep Cuts, where we explore the best songs you've never heard by the great divas of today and yesterday. I am your host, Ben, and thank you so much for joining. So today, we're going to be reviewing the brand new album by Kacey Musgraves called A Deeper Well. It came out on Friday, March 15th. I don't know. Close enough. Friday, March 15th. We'll go with that. I think that's right. And I'm excited because I haven't listened to much of her music before I prepped for this episode. I'm aware of her. I know a couple of her songs. I've seen her win many awards and know about the fact that she doesn't have a lot of traction with country radio because she just writes about topics that radio is afraid would alienate their audience, but she has built a devoted following and a successful career in spite of the lack of country radio traction. So I am excited to get into this album. So let's just kick off the track by track, and I'll give my thoughts on the album as a whole at the end. Track one, Cardinal, opens the album with some energy. Kacey sings about going for a walk to clear her head and it being breezy outside. And I feel like I'm with her on that walk. The imagery of the verses is so clear and strong. And then a cardinal comes down when the chorus hits and causes some contemplative musings. Like, is it just a bird appearing with the start of spring as the world warms up and coming back from winter migrating lands? Is it a message from a person who recently died on the other side of the veil? Who knows? But I just love how contemplative it is. The bridge, especially, where all the instruments fade out and there's just some vocal layerings. The vocal layerings in this song are just like rich and very beautiful and delicious. And the instrumentation has a very Fleetwood Mac 70s vibe. Like that's what the whole song gives me. Like the layering of the vocals, the guitar part, it sounds very like Lindsey Buckingham, Stevie Nicks, late 70s Fleetwood Mac, which I am here for because I love Fleetwood Mac a lot. Yeah, it's a great opener. It's kind of different than what comes later on the album, but I don't think that takes away from anything. I just think it's a nice way to catch the listener's attention with something contemplative yet still catchy and relatable to kick the album off. And the weirdest thing is that the verses have the same melody as Nelly Furtado's Say It Right, which is credited in the album notes, but I didn't catch it until I knew that the melody was interpolated from that song. So it's fascinating to me to hear such a hip hop beat driven pop song in a song like this that sounds like it could be on a Fleetwood Mac album in 1977. Track number two is the title track, Deeper Well, and it has a very soothing vibe to it, especially with the light, moving acoustic guitar that keeps it together. I do sense, and maybe this is just me projecting my own experience into the song, but beneath the soothing vibe, I feel like in the lyrics and in her delivery, there comes across this feeling of being kind of burnt out or tired from the situation that she's singing about leaving behind, and that she's just ready to move on and rest and do something else. But the song opens with a talk about her experience through her Saturn return. And I'm like, I guess we're getting all the Saturn return divorce albums this year. We did Ariana Grande last week, which had the same themes, and now we're getting Kacey Musgraves' divorce album with Saturn return in the mix this week. So, Oh well, it happens as generations age and experience similar life stages at the same time. So, anyway, let's see. I had some choice lyrics for this one that I marked down. Yes, I love the part in the I this song doesn't really have a chorus other than the line that mentions the title, but in this first time through the chorus section, she says, "I'm saying goodbye to the people who are really good at wasting my time. And I think that's a very relatable sentiment. I think it happens to most people as they like become more confident, become more secure, really understand what they want from life, that they start just leaving behind people that don't fit into that as they grow and change throughout their lives. I also wrote down the things I was taught only got me so far. I had to figure the rest out myself. Also, very relatable. You know, that's something, I don't know, unless you have like the most well-adjusted parents in the world, I don't think anyone's parents can 100% prepare them for everything that life throws. And of course, society changes. Like the way that society was when our parents were young is not the same that it was when, you know, I was in my teens and 20s, and it's not the same as the way the world is now. So, you know, it's like relatable, but it's not placing blame on anyone. It's really hard to be prepared for everything that life can throw at you. So, yeah, I really like this one. I also like that she's saying about I've actually never consumed cannabis, but I appreciate that she sings about realizing that she was leaning on it as a coping mechanism and giving that up as she's going through changes and taking stock of her life. So yeah, it's really chill, it's really soothing, but it's a lot about like self-growth and self-awareness, and and letting go of the things that are no longer helpful in your life. And I really like the sentiment. Well, on track three, Too Good to Be True, the thematic parallels of divorce and then finding love again after from Ariana Grande's Eternal Sonshine continue, even though sonically these are two very different, very, very different albums. Yeah, this one is very much like captures the joy, but also the fear of being in a new relationship after having undergone a serious breakup and just hoping and praying that, like, okay, this time it's going to be good. This time we're going to figure it out and it's not going to end the way that the last one did. And so it's like giving some voice to those fears, but also just sweetly singing about all the things that are really good in the now, in the current relationship, which is really sweet. At the beginning, it sounds kind of samey when it's just the guitar and the production, but then we hit the first chorus and we have some percussion lines that come in underneath that add more texture and differentiation from Deeper Well. I also appreciate the program drum choice because it's very late 90s, which is one of my personal favorite periods in music. So it just kind of like takes me back. I was in elementary school, but I've listened to so much music from that time when it was happening and after that, like I'm familiar with a lot of the sound, so I just really loved that. What else do I have? Oh yeah, again, beautiful, lovely, gentle harmonies on the vocal production. It just adds extra depth to the song that it's really, really nice. It gives it a little bit more dimension from just like a guitar and solo vocal. So yeah, this one's sweet. Track four is a sadder song called "Moving Out." This one I'm at is about the end of a relationship. I'm going to stop projecting about her personal life. I don't know. It feels weird and voyeuristic to talk too much about that, the more I think about it, compared to my personal values. So anyway, yeah, this one, part of what makes it so sad to me is that it has like an instrumental outro where she stops singing and lets it go for 30 to 45 seconds of just music to the end that just gently lands. And there's the sound of this like distant banjo buried in the production that sounds far away. And it just gives the sense of like all of the elements of this relationship just like slowly fading away as it was like ended and then doing all the things to like untangle the lives and move out of this literal and metaphorical house. That's what I like about this song a lot, is that she's like a couple moving in together and making a house their own is like literal, but also metaphorical of thinking of the relationship and the time together as a house. And then talking about like it's a change in seasons and autumn is moving in, but they are moving out because the relationship's over and they've untangled their lives. So again, it has that kind of just like weariness that I felt in Deeper Well, that it's not angry. It's not even that like devastating kind of sadness. It's just the like, oh, I'm so tired. I am sad at the situation, but I'm also ready to just like go rest somewhere to feel better. So, yeah, I have a comment too, and I'll say it in track five when we talk about that in a second, but I feel like the sequencing could have been slightly different, but yeah, I'll say more about that soon. All right, up next is track five, Giver Taker, which is giving and taking in a relationship is a theme that we've seen already in some of the other songs, just not as directly as in this song. But what I was going to say about the track list order, and I had more thoughts about it, listening back to Giver Taker again. At first, I was like, it feels like the album goes backwards, where like Deeper Well is the arrival after the end of a relationship and the Saturn return. And then it's like new relationship, crumbling of relationship, when relationship was sort of crumbling, but not yet, like kind of going backwards. But now I'm not sure. It kind of feels like we're almost in this like washing machine of like old relationship, new relationship, and being still kind of broken and sad, and old relationship, and like jumping back and forth in points in time. So I don't know if it's just a artistic choice. I don't know exactly. I'm not picking up on like a linear through line yet, but that isn't necessarily necessary. But I still enjoy it. The song itself was beautiful. Like the first verse talks about feeling lonely in the house, and it feels like a continuation from the previous song. And then this song also has one of the lyrics that I find the most devastating because it's about being in just like a very needy, vulnerable place. On the chorus, she sings, "And if I could take only as much as I needed, I would take everything you had." And like, that's a very sad place to be in. And the first time I listened to this song, I thought this was a divorce song about like, I want to take everything from you. But on subsequent listens, it's more, I think, about being in the new relationship and being like, I'm vulnerable right now. So like, be careful with me because I will like take everything that you have to give me and burn you out if you're not careful. So, yeah, very interesting, very like sonically connected to the previous track. So, I like this one too. Maybe I'll do like high, mid, and low at the end. I'll think about it. Track six, Sway, is my favorite track on this album. It is just stunningly gorgeous. It's, ugh. Where to even begin? There's this just moving guitar part that this goes on my list of songs that sound like they're going around in a circle, but it just brings this like gentle but not still energy. And in the song, in the lyrics, she sings about basically wanting to be like the trees or the flowers that can just like surrender to what's happening and sway in the wind. And so the guitar part feels like the gentle wind that's blowing through the night. And I personally relate to this. I've been trying to work on the past couple of years of just like letting go, surrendering to the present with my eyes on the future, but not being attached to the hows or the outcomes all the time. And it is very helpful when you can get there, but surrendering takes a practice, like many things. Yeah, so that's part of probably why I love this song, beyond the beautiful arrangement. And speaking of that beautiful arrangement, Oh my goodness, the vocal layerings. Like, it feels like being in the woods and hearing this beautiful chorus all around you. And it happens during the song, and then the song lands, and you think, oh, that was short, it was beautiful, and it's over. And then there's like a choir of Caseys that come in, echoing each other in this beautiful multi-part a cappella harmony. And it's just stunning. Like, she could take that and take this track and turn it into like a 10-minute meditation track. Like, it's so beautifully arranged. It's just utterly stunning. And for me personally, is the highlight of this album. Like, this is going on some playlists so that I get to hear it all of the time because I love it so much. So, all right, moving on. Track number seven, Dinner with Friends. It feels almost like an interlude, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but it is the midpoint of the album. And while I was listening to the lyrics and really paying attention, in some ways it feels like an adult version or Kacey Musgraves version of My Favorite Things from The Sound of Music. But it's still really sweet because it's like mentions like the beauty of nature, the things she finds beautiful or enchanting about her new lover. Also, like, one of my favorite parts, because the song is mostly a list. Like, there are simple things, like the way the sun streams through the window and makes patterns on the floor, like, very simple things. But then she sings about the things that she loves about her home state of Texas, but then puts a little jab in there at the end where she says, but none of their laws. So, like, she's singing about the beautiful nature and the sky and the animals in Texas, but how she doesn't agree with the things that the state government passes and is pushing out. So I kind of love that she's embraced this, like, well, country radio already doesn't give me the time of day, so I'm truly gonna just say how I feel earnestly in my lyrics, and I very much appreciate that. But yeah, this feels kind of just like a mid-balancing point before we get to the second half of the record. This one is another little meditation on nature. I personally really love it. She mentions the mycelial network of fungus and root systems and bacteria and insects under the soil, and then also sings about the trees communicating up at the tops in the canopy. And it's just really beautiful. Like, the lines about it's in our nature to look out for each other. It's just really sweet. And it's kind of like a reminder of, like, this is how humans used to live before people in power created structures to, like, subjugate others, and before there was all of these distractions of, like, technology and industry and cultural norms of being by ourselves, that, like, cooperation and reciprocity is really in our natures if we can just get back to it. So it's just a sweet little meditation on that in this beautiful, gentle container that again feels kind of like a Fleetwood Mac song. Like, the lyrics are Stevie Nicks, the vocal arrangements are Christine McVie, and the guitar parts are Lindsey Buckingham. Like, it very much feels like a down-tempo Fleetwood Mac song again, similar to Cardinal. Track nine, Jade Green, is another one of my favorites. I feel like the minor chords of the guitar part and the faster tempo give it a similar kind of energy to Dolly Parton's Jolene. The lyrical content is quite different, but sonically, like, that's the place that it's taking me to. Lyrically, it's actually much sweeter than that. Most of it is about the security from being in a healthy relationship with someone, and also, like, singing both literally and metaphorically about a jade green bracelet that she can play with, look at, use as a reminder when they're not together to like soothe her anxiety and ground into herself. But I think my favorite part is actually the beginning, the opening lines. Well, the guitar instrumental that's kind of like Jolene that leads into the opening lines of I want to bathe in the moonlight until I'm fully charged. Come into my power and heal my broken parts. Yeah, it's very powerful to me. It has like a witchy kind of vibe, but it's also very much just about like, finding energy, healing oneself, and stepping into your power to move forward to the next phase of life. So, yeah, this is a favorite for sure. Track 10 is called The Architect, and she's been promoting it quite heavily as the second single from this record in the promotion this week for album release. I think it's sweet. It's kind of middling for me. It's another more of like a contemplation song rather than a story. It has three verses where she likens whether there's a like divine creator of the earth and asks like, is there one, basically? First about nature, then about herself and her body, and then about like relationships and life in general, and like questioning, like, is it all just chance that we ascribe meaning to? Is there a divine architect who has put things in motion or developed plans? Like, it's just a little meditation on that. So, and it has a very sweet, just like light acoustic guitar underneath, and it's just about like questioning the nature of life and reality. So, it's nice. Is it something I would put on a playlist and listen to on repeat? Maybe not, unless I was just feeling in a very like contemplative mood, but it is sweet for what it is. Track 11 is called Lonely Millionaire. It's another favorite of mine. It again, the more program drum part, for lack of a better phrase, is very late 90s, which speaks to my tastes yet again. I don't know, the whole thing about it is something to me that sounds like could be a crossover radio single if she and her team and her label wanted to promote it. I just really like it. The guitar feels more like a Spanish guitar this time, with the percussion around it and that sort of like late night feel. And of course, I always love a song that calls out the hollowness of materialistic culture and consumeristic culture, where it's like, so what? If you have a millionaire, if you are a millionaire and you just live by yourself and you don't really have any connections, romantic, platonic, otherwise, like, what kind of life is that? Like, yeah, you don't have to struggle for where the money for your bills are coming from, and you may not even have to work any more than you want to, but like, what's it all for if you're just gonna sit in big houses by yourself? So, yeah, this one is definitely a favorite. We'll tally them up at the end. I think that's what I'm gonna do. I don't dislike any song, so there wouldn't be anything in like a low tier, and I don't like doing that anyway to feed into like online negativity. But we'll at least list the favorites. There won't be a set number. It'll fluctuate depending on album. Track 12 is called Heaven Is, and it feels like it could be the conclusion of this record. We're back to an acoustic guitar-driven ballad, but it's really heartfelt and sweet. Like, her vocal performance is just stunning, the way that her voice just gently floats along the top of the production like a butterfly, and the way that she does some little runs and things to add extra texture. It's just so sweet. Like, it doesn't feel sappy. You can just feel like how contented she is. And then it adds to it later in the song when there's this beautiful cello part that comes in and duets with the acoustic guitar, and it's just
It's just a lovely little song. It's just really sweet. It's very cozy. Honestly, my only complaint is it feels like it ends a little prematurely. Like they were building this rocking back and forth of all these beautiful parts, and then they just kind of stopped. I feel like it could have just ha stuck the landing just a little bit better at the end. But otherwise, it's just very, very sweet and very beautiful. Lucky number 13, Anime Eyes, is the strangest song on this record. I don't dislike it personally, but it is still weird. I'm gonna acknowledge that, even though I do enjoy it. Like, I'm sure many people will find this off-putting, and if they get to the end of the record, they'll either stop or just jump ahead to the final song. But yeah, it's kind of like a sneaky one, because the first verse comes in, and again, we have like more acoustic guitar and some dreamy other production lines. And then in the chorus, it just takes this left turn and drives off into a field, and then it takes off into the sky where she's, sings about having anime eyes for her beloved. And yeah, I feel like in this one she's living up to her Instagram handle of being Spacey Casey, because it's just like going down this path and up into the sky and maybe even further into outer space that's unusual. But because it has elements that most of the other tracks have, with like the acoustic guitar and some gentle other production, but then it has like these weird electronic synths and these heavily like vocoded vocals that give it this more like, I don't know, like brightly colored technological feel than literally the rest of the record. So it feels like mildly disconcerting, but she's like so in love and it's so sweet. And then there's that like manic bridge where it's like, what is even happening? Like, it has a bunch of imagery just stacked on top of like lightning bolts and rainbow explosions and this and that and like melting, and because your heart is just so full. And then it closes with the line, "Sailor Moon's got nothing on me," and I'm just like, what is even happening? And then it kind of like retreats back into this like soothing, dreamy, gentle production, and then ends, and I'm like, this is such an unusual song. I'm glad it exists and I do enjoy it for its weirdness, but it is weird. So I'm not sure what's going on, but I like it, but I am also like mildly disconcerted or mildly concerned. Track 14, Nothing to Be Scared Of, and the final track on this record, is a very sweet little coda. It's short enough that it almost feels like an interlude, like some of the tracks in the middle of this record. But I really like the sentiment of, kind of using travel as a metaphor. And in the first verse, Casey's singing to her beloved about bringing his baggage, setting it down, and they'll unpack it together. And then in the second verse, it's the reverse, where she's arriving to him, setting down her baggage, and they're unpacking it together. And I mean, that's a phrase often used for like all of the history and sometimes emotional trauma that people are carrying. So like, trying to like demystify and not be scared of what's inside the baggage, but just unpacking it and dealing with it together so that the two of you can better understand each other and build a stronger, healthier foundation. And it's just a really sweet end. So, yeah. So with that, we've come to the end of this record. And I've come to realize on after five listens, I thought it was a divorce record, but now I realize that other than one or two songs, most of it is actually being in a new relationship post-divorce that feels healthy and good, and just really trying to like settle into that and just like being on the other side of the Saturn return in a relationship that feels healthier and more grounded. And it's just such a sweet, beautiful record. There's so much good guitar work, such beautiful vocal arrangement, such sincere, earnest songwriting. There's some metaphors, but it's not like really like heavy-handed, I'm making art with a capital A. It's very much just like I'm writing about my experience from the heart in a very sincere and relatable way. So, on one of the things that I kept thinking about from the first listen through now is the songwriting on this record and some of the vocal choices. It very much reminds me of Jewel, how she has always stood out since the beginning of her career as somebody who just writes very earnest, personal, direct lyrics and doesn't go hard into like metaphors and vagaries and radio-driven hooks. She just writes from her heart about her own feelings and life experience. And I feel like, not that Casey hasn't done that before, but like this record in particular, since I'm not very used to Casey Musgraves' discography, very much reminds me of a Jewel record. So, yeah, I hope you enjoyed the album. I hope you liked this review. Please let me know in the comments what are some of your favorite songs, because mine, I think I marked five. Yes, we have Cardinal, Sway, Heart of the Woods, Jade Green, and Lonely Millionaire are some of my top picks from this record after my initial weekend of listening. So, yeah, let me know what you think. Don't forget to check out the Deep Cuts of the Day playlist and the clips on social media and divadeepcuts.com to stay up to date with everything going on with this show. And stay tuned for a secret project that I'm working on in the background. So keep that mysterious. We'll find out soon. Maybe in a couple months. I have to get it going. So thank you so much for joining me. Don't forget to like and subscribe on YouTube and subscribe on Spotify if you're listening there. And until next time, I am Ben, and this is Diva Deep Cuts.